Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Thursday here at the 27th of April, 2023, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers in the studio. We are live on location here near Truax Field in Madison, Wisconsin, where we are celebrating the arrival of the new F-35 aircraft here in Wisconsin. Talking to our panel today, which includes Brigadier General David May, Major Rachel Wineski, and Colonel Willa Panzer, all here with us, along with their protector, Captain Peter, who is standing by at any moment if I say the wrong thing to shut this entire operation down. He has a crew just waiting to take it to me. No, I appreciate Captain Peter for helping set this all up. We appreciate all the entire staff here. It's been nothing but spectacular, and we appreciate each and every one of them. Aaron, the cool thing is I found out that after the show, I get to go out and help change a tire. So I'm looking forward to that.
Is that so?
No, not really. They're not going to let me anywhere near those aircraft. Are you kidding me? I could just stand and watch, but that's fine.
I mean, yeah, standing and that's what I figured you meant, was just standing and watching.
Weather forecast, as Kara Foster said last hour, going to be a beautiful day to fly if you'd like to. In Richland Center, WRCE, Southwest Wisconsin today, partly sunny, a high near 65 degrees. Get out and enjoy it. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 38. And then for tomorrow, partly sunny, a slight chance of a shower and a high near 67 degrees. Up in Wausau, WXCO, Bull Falls Radio, a chance of showers, a high of 58 today. Then a slight chance of showers later on tonight, a low of 41. And for tomorrow, Friday, partly sunny, a slight chance of showers and a high of 64. And in Northwest Wisconsin today, Amory, Lake Air Radio, WLAK, scattered showers, a high of 63. For tonight, scattered showers, a low of 46. And for tomorrow, Friday, scattered showers at a high near 56 degrees. Coming up next hour, we will did last night. Sad, bad, not glad. The Heat scored a 128-126 overtime victory over the Milwaukee Bucks. Their season is done, and have plenty of time to think about it. Here's something, Aaron. The Bucks are 0-1 since minority owner Aaron Rodgers has been a Jet.
Interesting.
Yeah, I know. It didn't go so well. But anyway, we'll talk a little bit about that in hour number three. This hour, we are pleased to, again, continue our conversation. And General May, just again, thank you to you and your staff for this opportunity. In all sincerity, I appreciate this opportunity. I know Civic Media does. And to you and your entire team here, thank you for your service, because it's people, the men and women of the 115th and all like you, who guarantee and make sure that guys like me have our freedom.
Well, thank you so much. We appreciate the support and the opportunity to tell a little bit more of our story. And I'm just thrilled to have a couple of our finest here with us today. I've got 2,300 airmen, approximately, mm-hmm. the Wisconsin Air National Guard. They're all amazing and fantastic. Such a deep well of talent and wonderful people. And to be able to tell a little bit more of our story with you and share that with your listeners today is just a fantastic opportunity. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. And for those of you, for those who did not hear the general on the last show a couple months ago or so, give us kind of the brief synopsis, if you would, sir, what led you to this position and kind of your background.
Sure. So born and raised here in the Madison area, I grew up in Middleton, Middleton High School graduate, the year is classified. And I did a number of things. I was a music major. I did a bachelor's and a master's in music, and sort of burned out on that path and came back to one of my original interests, which was serving in the military, something I wanted to do. I wanted to have that experience. So I'm about 27 years into my 4-year plan. That's how things worked out. I did about 13 years of active duty. And then for family reasons, I wanted to stabilize my family life and stop moving every 18 months. And I found my way to the Guard in sort of a clunky, poorly educated fashion, but I made it here nonetheless. And it's been great. I mean, the last 13, 14 years in the Guard have been just so amazing personally and professionally. Started out here in the headquarters, eventually ended up as the commander of Oak Field, and then was lucky enough to be selected by General Knapp to be one of his deputies as the deputy adjutant general for air in this position now. So I pinch myself for that reason every morning, unlike Rachel, who pinches herself because she gets to go fly a cool plane, or Willa, who gets to go work with half of the fighter wing population to fix them. I just feel very fortunate every day I get to come in and do this.
I'm sure there is probably no typical day, General, but on a certain typical day, what are you involved in checking with your different commanders, or what is it that you will do on a typical day?
So my focus is on our three bases and in doing whatever I can do to support those three command teams, and with Chief Workman, our state command chief, and my staff up here. That is our focus internally, and then externally, I deal with the National Guard Bureau and coordinating issues and resources. I work a lot with my peers, the other versions of me, around the country as we work on issues that are common to all of us. I mentioned the other fighter squadrons that have a less than certain future. So partnering with people like that have common concerns, we work forward on those things together.
Sounds great. We appreciate your time with us this morning. We're going to come back and talk to each of our panel here when we come back. Find out a little bit more about specific pilot and maintenance issues, how those two things intersect. Tell a couple of human stories, and also to share with you how you, if you are thinking about a career in the military, specifically the Air National Guard, how you can get involved. We'll tell you all that more. Stay with us. This is the Todd Allball Show, live from Truax Field on the Civic Media Radio Network. Little Fly Like an Eagle. This is favorite music hits with the General on Pacific Media. That's our new show we're going to start launching. I'm going to be producer. He's going to be the host, music extraordinaire. Brigadier General David May. In his real job, in his daytime job, he's the CEO, the commanding officer of the 115th here and the Wisconsin Air National Guard, along with Major Rachel Wineski and also Colonel Willa Panzer, our guests here live at Truax Field. Here in Madison, Wisconsin, talking about the arrivals of the F-35 aircraft. And General, you're quite the music aficionado with your music background. You know your stuff.
Well, there's certainly a lot saved in the memory bank there from studying it over the years. But I also just grew up as a kid, in the 70s, listening to first and then second generation classic rock, and had my own stack of vinyl and. Lots of great memories growing up with all that music.
So here's a question to the Major. Again, I'm sorry to keep referencing movies, but do you ever listen to music while you're in the air, or is it always you're always focused on the thing at hand?
No music in the air. But we are talking to both our other flight mates, as well as any sort of ground communications or air communications as well. So things get kind of busy at times, so sure. Not unfortunately, unless I'm snagging a ride on a commercial airliner, do I have an opportunity to listen to that.
But here, I hear rumors in the halls this morning that the call signs are a real thing, and I've heard rumor that your call sign is Banshee.
That is true.
That's tremendous. That was the best part of my morning, actually. I'm like, oh my God, that's bad. Do you have it on your helmet like they do in the movies?
I don't, but I think that's a great suggestion, something we should look into for our... Well,
if only we could get a hold of the General, maybe we would make that happen. Wouldn't that be cool? It'd be amazing. I think I might know a guy. I'll see what we can...
Take it under advisement.
That's a great... That is such a Pentagon thing. You'll take it under advisement. That's great, though. That's fantastic. But I think it's cool. So the call signs, whether or not they're on their helmets or not, they're real. And so when you're in the air, you call each other by your call sign.
No, actually, not even that. So we'll have like our call sign that we'll fly with to identify the aircraft. And as we go, and again, part of that team concept. It's not just one aircraft. We'll have a formation of aircraft and each having different roles and responsibilities depending on the phase of flight or the mission that we happen to be doing that day. So we'll fly with a tactical call sign, if you will, for that in the air. But then, you know, in the office, we tend to go by call signs as opposed to first names. But it's really just, again, it's part of that culture, part of that family and community atmosphere of the relatability of knowing that the person to my left and to my right has my back, and we're going to go and we're going to do this together as a team.
Is the backstory how you got that call sign radio friendly, or should we just move on?
That is classified.
Okay. I love this. See, this is why I love working with military people, because all you got to say is a certain word or term, and you know what it means. Just move on. All right, it's classified. That's fantastic. Colonel Panzer, going back to, again, your team, it's not just, I mean, each people that have specific things that are involved in an aircraft, yes or no, or is one person basically capable of working on more or less all the things of aircraft? Are there teams on specific parts of an aircraft?
So there are definitely teams that focus on different areas. If you think about a NASCAR pit crew, we do have crew chiefs.
Nice analogy. All right.
They do a similar kind of work, but then we also have folks who specialize in each of the systems, the fuel systems, the avionics systems, the skin of the aircraft itself, the structure of the aircraft. So they become experts in those fields. So the crew chiefs are handling a lot of the day-to-day, turning the aircraft, getting it ready to fly when it lands, getting it ready to be put away for the night or fly its next go. But then we have the other areas that they get deeper into the different technical aspects of the aircraft, whether that's preventative maintenance or whether they're addressing something that isn't working as it should.
So, and again, if I'm going too far, just tell you, can't go there. But when, let's say, theoretically, you all are deployed and you have to do a mission overseas, does the maintenance crew travel with the pilot or the pilots are deployed? Or do you communicate somehow to wherever they're going to about that maintenance, or is it just all seamlessly fit together?
Everything's seamless. For the most part, we go when the unit goes.
So you travel. All right.
Absolutely.
All right. Yep. That's pretty cool. Just a larger aircraft as a team, you're not, because these are one-seaters. You can't fly along in the actual plane. And does that give you confidence, Major, when you're traveling or when you're deployed like that, to know that your maintenance crew is the one that's preparing your aircraft?
Absolutely. And that confidence exists home station as well. And the cannot understate the importance of that trust and that relationship between the pilot and their maintenance corps. It honestly, although we go and we will look through the paperwork to ensure everything is signed off and ready to go, I'm going to go, Todd, and if you see my aircraft's ready, I'm going to go look you in the eye, I'm going to shake your hand, and I'm going to say, let's go. Mm-hmm. And everything else is unsaid. Is if you tell me it's ready, it's ready, and I trust you. Mm-hmm. And that trust is built over days, weeks, months, years of working together to come up with a plan for how are we going to go and generate aircraft, how are we going to ensure we execute the preventative maintenance that Colonel Panzer had alluded to, any resultant maintenance activities are required after a flight, and how are we going to ensure that we collectively have a fleet that is able to go and execute our mission, because there's an opportunity cost for everything, you know, I asked for as a pilot or everything she asked for from her maintainers, and it's that relationship and that give and take at times to understand the pros and cons of each decision that we make while going to appropriately mitigate risk or accept risk when needed is a vital aspect of that, like, very, very detailed and relationship and an important relationship, in my opinion, between the entities.
Any favorite memories from either of you from being deployed either stateside or overseas, something that happened that will stick with you? Doesn't even have to be military related, but just something that will stick with you from your military experience thus far in your careers.
It's hard to narrow it down to one, isn't it?
Or a couple, yeah.
I have a very vivid memory of one of my first deployments. I went alone from my unit. The crew chiefs came from another unit. The more specialized maintainers came from another unit. And we all met when we got on the plane to fly over there together. And just the amount of, and we didn't know any of the air crew either. That came to fly was a different unit, but the amount of work that had to happen while we traveled overseas to get to know each other, to start off on the right foot, when I think about where we came from and where we were at the end of that deployment and the success we had and how tight we came as a team, that was quite a few years ago, and I'm still in touch with some of those folks. So
that's
definitely
awesome.
A vivid memory.
You, Major?
Absolutely. And mine is also kind of one of the first, if you will. It was actually my first combat sortie. I'd been in the A-10 for a little bit, having done an assignment to the Pacific area prior to my second operational assignment. And it was my first combat flight. It was actually supposedly a local area orientation. And we got re-rolled to a different mission, a very serious one of a troops in contact situation. Unfortunately, some friendly forces were ambushed and were taking direct fire, and were in a really pretty bad state and needed some help. And we got re-rolled to go and help them. And in a very quick amount of time and with very little information, able to gather data about the situation, identify where the friendlies were, where they're taking fire from, can they retrograde, how can they retrograde, getting support rescue assets in there to get an extraction, and all happened in the course of about 6 minutes.
Wow.
From getting re-rolled to employing. And you know, but that's what you train for. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're ready to, you know, and debrief the sortie, and obviously wanted to know if, you know, did they make it back okay and things like that. And circle back about a month or so, still in theater. Someone shows up to ops and asks for the tactical call sign we're flying with, asks to speak to them, who happen to be available, and a simple thanks for helping him and his team out of a pretty bad situation really brings it full circle. But, and again, you know, that's just one example of the many that all of us have for our different roles of how going about doing your job, being ready, is very important and something we take very seriously.
General, I've been here a little over 2 hours. I feel better already. Your entire team, these two individuals here, you have to be enormously proud of the women and men that you command.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm so blessed with all of this talent. And I mentioned being excited to come in every day. It's because I get to work with these people. And my favorite thing to do is to get out and visit airmen and talk to them, see what they're doing, hear about what they're doing in their lives, hear about the opportunities that they're taking advantage of, their goals and aspirations for their personal and professional lives. It continually fills my cup over and over again.
If there's someone out there listening today who is a young person, maybe it's a parent or a grandparent that has someone in their lives who are maybe not knowing where they want to go in their life necessarily, maybe being kind of interested, what would you have them do? What would your recommendation be if they want to get more information about a career?
So the quick way to get to more information is goang.com, goang.com. We have numerous opportunities. We have over 200 career fields represented at our three bases, Volk Field in Juneau County, the 115th here in Madison, and the 128th Air Field and Wing in Milwaukee. And it's a great place for a young person to start if they know exactly what they want to do or if they have no idea what they want to do. It works great for both approaches. I've spent the last 6 months talking to high schoolers all over the country, and or state rather, and they give me both answers. And I say, you know what? We're a great place for you to start. We can give you skills and training. We can give you resources to go to school, pay for a two-year, a four-year college, and get you going on life. And whether they come out the gate as a 16-year-old saying, I want to be a fighter pilot, yep, we can help you get there. If you say, I don't know what I want to do, I said, you know what? We'll give you an aptitude test, and it'll tell you what you're good at. Getting back to Rachel's comment earlier, it's good to know what you're good at, okay, along with what you want to do, and we'll help you along that path. But it starts by having that conversation with somebody in the Guard or one of our recruiters. You can get that conversation started, again, by going to goang.com and asking for somebody to reach out to you and talk about your situation.
About 30 seconds left for each of you. What would you say to a young person that is thinking about doing this?
Well, I come at this from somebody who, like I said, came in because it seemed to make sense along with the general and the four-year plan. I am many years longer than 4 years. I would say just grab hold of the opportunities. The connections you will make will open up so many doors. And whether you serve for 4 years or 30, you're going to get something amazing out of it and leave a better person.
Major?
Something to mention is, especially related to, flying or flying on the civilian side, oftentimes individuals may think that's cost prohibitive. But the biggest thing is there's a lot of scholarship opportunities for young adults. And as you get through the middle and high school, as you get some flight experience, just go out there, do an exploration flight, a flight with an instructor, just to get out and get in the air. And kind of really realize the vast opportunity and exciting day that it is.
Great advice. Thank you all, General, Colonel, Major. We appreciate all of you. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Todd.
My pleasure. Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live on location near Truax Field here in the Dane County in Madison, Wisconsin. Here at the 115th, what a wonderful morning it has been, Mr. Zommers. Very, very honored to have the General, the Colonel, the Major all with us today talking about the arrival of the F-35s. A lot of fun this morning.
Oh, absolutely. It's always fascinating to hear from these kind of people, and especially to hear that we have such talented and distinguished individuals here in Madison.
That's right. I couldn't agree with you more on that point. And as I said, I've been here a little over 2 hours or so, and just meeting the men and women here at the 115th at Air National Guard, all outstanding individuals, just great people, energetic. You could hear in Major Winnecki's comments about how passionate she was to fly, the confidence that she had in the team, in the Colonel's team, Colonel Panzer's team. And you think about it for a second. I mean, you're literally putting your life on the line, getting up in an aircraft, millions of dollars, multi-million, tens of millions of dollars aircraft. And you're in charge of that piece of equipment, but also it's your life, right? And in order to carry out a mission, you have to have a piece of equipment that's ready. And you as the pilot, you don't have time to go and, check every piece of thing on the plane. You have to absolutely trust the people who are preparing it to get it right. I can't imagine the level of trust you have to have in each other. It's a great thing. And I hope that folks enjoy the opportunity to get a first-hand view of or listen to a lot of these folks here on the ground. Because it is something that we don't hear every day. And to their point, folks like the General, the Major, and the Colonel, they walk amongst us every day in each of our communities. But we don't always know it because, they're out in uniform most of the time. And I think it just goes to prove that whoever we encounter in our daily travels, the old saying, we don't know what struggles the person is having that you meet every day. You don't know when you meet someone every day if they're a member of the National Guard, if they're helping to fight for our freedoms, to protect our democracies. And so I think it just goes, again, the admiration that I have, and I believe that each of us should have for those men and women who put on the uniform and serve.
Yeah, and I think that even if you're somebody who does not appreciate the amount of money and resources that our government spends on the military, which I think is a very valid argument you can make. The individuals in the military are not the people that you should be upset with.
Right. Exactly. But well said. And yeah, I mean, there's always going to be different points in society and in the world. And oftentimes politics gets involved in military operations, right? But the men and women who put on the uniform have very little of anything to do, unless you're Joint Chiefs of Staff level. But those folks who are put on the uniform don't make the political decisions. So you're 100% right. Whether or not you agree with a policy decision of deployment or action, the men and women who put on the uniform, they're the ones who are deserving of our admiration and our thanks. Which brings me to a topic, Mr. Summers, a quick topic. We're about a month away from Memorial Day in May. And I'm going to put this out there right now, so it's well ahead of time. Memorial Day is not a day to have a sale. All right, for retail people, you know, there's a pet peeve of mine. It's Memorial Day sales. Stop on down to get 25% off of a mattress during our Memorial Day sale. You know, stop by to get, you know, 2.9% financing for a Memorial Day sale.
Now, I think there is one exception to that. And that is, I know some places, like I think one of the ice cream shops in Manitowoc at least used to do this. Come in on Memorial Day. And if you are a veteran, you get whatever.
Sure.
Cheaper or free.
I have not nearly as much problem with that. But again, I think if you ask most men and women in the uniform, and actually I have a fine sergeant watching over me right now. She's standing by. She's making sure I don't say anything wrong or the entire broadcast will be cut off the air at any moment. Sergeant Peck, a shout out to Sergeant Peck. But I would think that, you know, Memorial Day is a time to set aside to remember the fallen, those who have given the ultimate sacrifice for our country. It's a solemn day. It's a day that should be remembered for each and every person who gave the ultimate sacrifice. We remember those who served that are still living. And I think it's fine to offer things for any time, right? Any time is a fine time to offer a discount for men and women who put on the uniform. But Memorial Day, I just think, is a sacred holiday. I think it's a day that should not be used as an advertising extravaganza. We should be running Memorial Day sales. It should be a time to remember the ultimate sacrifice. So I'm putting that plug out there now. So when Memorial Day rolls around in a month and I'm harping on people who are running Memorial Day sales, I'm on the record. I'm anti-Memorial Day sale.
And so that when we have a civic media advertising rate, no, I'm kidding.
Mr. Somers, you're more right than you possibly could know. I want it on the record. Yeah. I will not be participating in any sort of Memorial Day promotions for sales.
I have no idea if that's a thing.
I don't know either. Yeah. That's why I'm putting it out there now. No, it's a solemn holiday that should be remembered as such. Have you ever been to DC?
I have not. I'd like to go at some point. There's a lot there to see, obviously.
There is. One of the most powerful things that I've been there, you know, worked there for a while, and one of the most powerful things I ever did in DC is going to Arlington National Cemetery. And to first of all, it's simplistically and tragically beautiful all at once. The white stones and the meticulous landscaping and whatnot. But what the powerful point is, A, the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier and the changing of the guard there every half hour. And then also, I don't believe there was a time when I've gone that I haven't seen or come across a person grieving at the grave of a loved one. And that's what puts the face on it, right?
Right.
I get the privilege coming here today to Truax Field to talk to active women and men in the uniform. And I get to see this up close and personal. And hopefully we've brought a little bit of that to our listeners today. But you don't often, again, we all walk amongst each other, right? We know there are people who lost loved ones in battle. But we don't always know that. But when you go to Arlington National Cemetery or you go to the Milwaukee Veterans Cemetery and you see loved ones grieving, it brings it home and it makes it more human. And you realize that there is a human cost for freedom and for democracy.
I also, whenever I get to visit, I want to go with my dad since he was in the Navy. So that can bring another connection to it and help me understand it better.
Oh, absolutely. I think to have a parent or a grandparent that served, I think that's fantastic. And you're right. It brings it home a lot closer. Taking your calls this morning, if you'd like to give us a call, talk about your thoughts on the F-35s this morning. also about military service in general. If you're a veteran, we'd love to hear about that. Also, what you think about Memorial Day sales. We'll take all callers this morning. 715-388-7155. Again, area code 715-388-7155. We'd love to know what you think, what your reflections are on the F-35s, veterans, and Memorial Day. If you'd like to give us a call, 715-388-7155. Here at Truax Field. So breaking news this morning across the wire, a bit surprising. According to CBS News, breaking news at this hour, Jerry Springer, the TV talk show host and television personality, briefly served as mayor of Cincinnati, has died. His publicist confirmed to CBS News this morning. He was 79 years old. A former attorney and politician, Springer was elected the 56th mayor of Cincinnati in 1977 and held the role until 1978. He is known best for his namesake talk series, Jerry Springer, which ran for nearly three decades. Breaking story, we'll continue to update it as the morning goes on. But again, thinking of his family this morning, Jerry Springer dead at 79.
Honestly, I had no idea that he was that old.
Right? He aged well, but probably had some work done out in Hollywood. I'm not sure. You ever watch any of the Jerry Springer show, Mr. Zomers?
A little bit. I know.
That's all you needed.
My sister watched more of it than I did. One of my sisters.
Really? Yeah. I knew someone who had worked on the show a little bit and then knew someone else. That person also knew someone who was like a producer on the show. And a lot of it was just, as it turns out, surprise, surprise, was either staged and or made up.
Right.
Because the contestants got paid to go on the show. And then depending upon how much vitriol and kind of, you know, smashing of chairs and whatnot, you got paid more.
So, yeah. And that's why my younger sister watched it. She was just there for the drama. She didn't care if it was real or not.
You know, a former coworker of mine, Ramona, she used to watch, we used to talk about, you ever watch Maury Povich?
I don't think so.
He's the one, you know, he's the head of the talk show, and a lot of times they would do the testing for, like, you know, if you allegedly got a girl pregnant, and then they'd do a paternity test or whatever, and then live on the airs, or so that was the bit, the potential father was there with the mother, and Jerry Springer would read the results live on the air.
In the case of baby Jane, you are the father.
Well, no, he would say, you are not the baby's father.
Right.
It'd be very dramatic. Very dramatic. There's that whole era of genre of shows like that. Jerry Springer and Maury Povich. And I don't know, with the Gen Z audience like you, are those really in vogue or not so much?
I know they can be a lot of
they can be.
it really depends who you talk to, but I think yes, like so-called trash TV like that, where you know it's fake but it's still entertaining, is something that Gen Z loves to like things ironically.
I like things ironically. Yeah, I mean, it was a big deal. I mean, it was, in this day, the Jerry Springer show, it was like the top rated show on television, like behind Oprah, I think. It was kind of crazy. There was a minute there, 3, 4, 5 years, where, I mean, Jerry Springer was hauling a lot of money for the show. But Jerry Springer this morning, breaking news from CBS this morning, Jerry Springer, former talk show host and mayor of Cincinnati, is dead at the age of 79. Continue to follow this story this morning. We are happy to be here once again at Truax Field, or darn near close to it, just over the fence from it, celebrating or talking about the F-35s and the arrival thereof. Really great to have General May on the show. And we really appreciate his cooperation and letting us to come here basically on base and talk to his staff and get that insight. Great to have some Wisconsin people here as well. And I think that's the cool thing, is that these are fellow Wisconsinites who are putting their time in day after day to make sure that the readiness is done, that the maintenance is done, and that the tactical part is done so that these missions can be carried out. And as we saw, like I said, I know a lot of this UFO stuff is classified and whatnot, truly is classified, so we couldn't really get into it. They can't talk about it on the air. But, it's – I think that more than anything to me, to a layperson, to know that, when there was something over Lake Huron that was unknown, and no matter what it was, I mean, it was the 115th here in Madison that scrambled and got ready and got it done. I mean, that's pretty cool in my opinion.
Yeah,
to know that they got it done and were able to carry out that mission successfully, I might add. Whatever it was, we do know that it was confirmed that it was shot down somewhere in Lake Huron. Maybe the Loch Ness Monster. We'll come back and talk more. This is the Todd Allball Show, live on location from Truax Field, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Allball Show live on location here at Truex Field in Madison, Wisconsin, celebrating the arrival of the F-35s to Madison, Wisconsin. Mr. Zalmers, we have a bonus guest. She has been so kind as to agree to come on the air. We have Sergeant Peck, who has been charged with making sure that I don't goof anything up here at the military headquarters. Sergeant Peck, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We appreciate you being now. We were joking. I said we'd put you on the air, and you're like, I could. You've done some journalism.
Yeah, I went to MATC for my journalism certificate, and then after I got that, I moved to Door County, Green Bay area, and I worked at the Door County Daily News Station.
That's fantastic. Look at this. I mean, journalists were everywhere, right?
It was fun.
Did you ever have Terry Bell for a teacher at MATC?
Yes, I did.
He is our news director now.
Oh,
did you know that?
He did tell me he just recently got a new job.
We have a Terry Bell graduate right here.
Well, that's awesome.
He was my instructor, and he was a really great instructor.
Well, that's good to hear. No, Terry's a great guy. He does a great job for us at Civic Media. So what led you into your journey with the Air National Guard?
I'm in the Army.
Oh, you're Army. Actually. I apologize.
Okay. I always wanted to be a journalist, and so when my twin sister joined the Army National Guard as well, she opened my eyes to it, and then I asked, do they have journalists? And when she said yes, I was like, okay, I'll do it, because how else am I going to pay for college?
Right.
And then also get the experience that I would have gotten after college, get it right then and there with the National Guard.
That's fantastic. And so how long have you been in, if I can ask?
Since 2014.
Wow.
It's my longest relationship.
That is absolutely fantastic. I love it. So what led you beyond just the paying for college, whatnot? I mean, is there something else that you drew you to it, wanted to serve?
Well, and getting the experience. Yeah. I mean, I joined when I was a senior in high school, and you really don't know anything about anything at 18. Mm-hmm. So I didn't realize how great it was actually going to be, being able to learn everything about the military and only the cool parts about it,
Yeah. Right.
And so that's been the best part and something I couldn't have expected.
So what's your role in the Army then, Army National Guard?
I'm a mass communication specialist.
Wow, that's great.
And prior to that, I was... I specialized in video editing and creating.
Wow. Maybe we could hire you. we have our own communication specialist here, Mrs. Amherst. I should have her control the board, not me. It would be much better off, I'm sure.
They did teach us radio.
Did they really?
Mm-hmm.
That's great. So what is your daily role in the Army National Guard? What do you do as a communication specialist?
I'm just telling the Army story, really. That's it.
Wow.
And in this full-time capacity, I'm also telling the air story,
sure,
which is super new to me, but it's been fun.
So do you do social then, or is it more traditional writing for papers, a little bit of both?
It is both. Traditionally, when I'm drilling on the weekends, I am like social media more. But in this capacity, it's news releases and stuff like that, as well as social media.
So are you full-time then here, or?
Yes.
Wow, that's amazing.
By the way, I let Terry know who we're talking to, and he says hi. He says that you were one of his star students.
Whoa, Terry Bell is in this. And Aaron just told Terry that you're on. And he said, quote, she was one of my star students.
Oh, that's awesome.
Look at that. That's fantastic. Well, yeah, you never know where lives are going to intersect and cross over. Do you want to make the Guard a long-term career, or what's kind of your future look like?
I do want to make it long-term. I think that this is one of the best, when you pick this career field, I think this is one of the best capacities to do it in, because I love what I do. There's always something exciting going on. You know, I'm not pushing any agenda or selling anything to the public. I'm just truly observing it as it is and showing people what we do, and what we do is really cool stuff.
That's fantastic. What would you say to someone? I asked the other folks last segment as well. What would you say to a young person who is considering this or heard about it? Like, I'm not sure if I want to do it. What would your advice or recommendation be to them?
I think what first comes to mind about telling someone what's so great about the National Guard is the people. I think that they're very unique people, people that you can instantly connect with about any kind of variety of topics, just because there's such a variety of people. So if you want to like grow your friend group and your network like instantly by so much, like definitely get involved with the National Guard.
That's great. And this is a theme that we've heard all morning here. And I witnessed it, you know, in another life. I used to work for a congressman and help handle military affairs. And it's something that I regret not serving. It's something that's always drawn me to it, is this kind of family type of atmosphere, this team. You're working with a group of people that you can see results. That has to be immensely rewarding.
It is rewarding. And you know that you all have kind of like that same outlook. You know, someone might be a stranger, you know, in their face, but when they have the uniform on, like there's something about that that tells you like they're a friend or they're an ally or they're definitely someone you can connect with in some sort of way.
I think that's super cool, just to have that and to have the diversity within the military. People are coming from all backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And you have to, I would imagine, right or wrong, you learn a little bit of something about other people, but maybe yourself too, and having those experiences.
Totally. And there's always the travel aspect too, you know.
Right.
My service has taken me to Korea, Cuba, Poland.
Wow. Is there a favorite you've been to?
They're all so cool in so many different ways. My deployment to Guantanamo Bay was super cool.
I bet.
It was a year on the Caribbean. And when you come from Wisconsin.
Oh my gosh. Do you hear that, Mr. Zabra? A year on the Caribbean.
That's something special, especially for you, Todd.
Right, exactly.
Since you love it so much.
I mean, I love the ocean. I love the water.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And it was in my backyard. It was amazing.
Oh my gosh. Did you have an opportunity where you allowed to like go out within kind of the civilian parts of Cuba, or were you?
No, it's like
beyond
super,
base.
It's yeah. super segregated, just a base. No Cuban culture, but yeah. The ocean's the ocean.
Yes, the ocean is the ocean.
Yeah.
Did you go through any hurricanes at all? Or?
No, I did not.
Oh, that's fortunate.
Yeah. There's just one large storm that was.
Oh my gosh. See, if you, it's all kinds of reasons to sign up and wear the uniform, I'm traveling amongst them.
I got my scuba diving license down there.
Did you really? Mm-hmm. Look at this. See, this is my ignorance. I've forgotten. Is it was it the Army that said join the Army and see? No, I was the Navy. Sorry, I was.
Was it?
Navy, I think Navy is join the Navy and see the world. I think that's where they're slugging out. Sorry, say I got to be careful. So now, Mr. Zombers, it was, you know, we had earlier. It was Navy Air Force for fighter pilots. Now we've got the Army involved.
Yeah,
you don't want to mess with, you don't want to mess with the Army. You bring the Marines and the Coast Guard in here, and then of course you got the Merchant Marine. But the Merchant Marine, they don't have PR people like the Army.
No.
I was at the Merchant Marine Academy though. Went down over in New York. It's a beautiful facility.
That sounds cool.
But I was an honorary recruiter for West Point. I've been to West Point.
Oh.
Super cool.
I bet. I heard a lot of good things about West Point.
I'll be back with my co-host in hour number three. This is Sergeant Peck. Thank you very much, Sergeant. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
And your service. We'll be back for hour number three. Stay with us live on location at Truax Field. This